Have any of you ever found yourself unprepared for something? Think about when you were in school, showing up to a test that you forgot that you had and the sense of panic, you know, when all of a sudden the teacher announces, okay, clear your desks, it's time for the test. Imagine maybe if you work in an office environment, having to give a presentation that you forgot you had to give that day. Perhaps if parents maybe forgetting to make the lunch or something like that, or forgetting to pick someone up from school or something like that. I think all of us have been at one time or another unprepared for something, and we do a lot of stuff to get prepared. Think of like a fire drill, for example, or if you've ever been on a cruise, at the beginning of a cruise, they have everyone put their life vests on and come to the deck of the ship or whatever to get ready to make sure you're ready to get in the lifeboats if the ship goes down or something. So we do things in our day-to-day life to get prepared, and we've all had experiences, probably, where we've been unprepared for something. I was thinking of, after college, I worked at Starbucks for a little while before I was getting settled in life, and it was New Year's Eve, and it was in Missouri, so it's always a little warmer, but it's not that warm in the winter, but it was 60 degrees that day. It was kind of this like freakishly warm day. It's one of those days after some months of winter where you get this warm weather and you just want to retire in life and you just want to lay out, and it just seems like a great gift from God, and you just sort of forget everything and there's some joy in the air. But you also know that you're kind of familiar with how weather patterns work, that sometimes when it's freakishly warm all of a sudden, you know that then there's going to be a freakish storm all of a sudden oftentimes, right? We know in the summer it's one of those, at the end of a big warm spell, then we'll get some storms that come in. And so that was kind of like that day. And so it was warm, and then by the end of the morning, though, it started to get cloudy, and then it was kind of these big dark clouds that are the big, you know, high in the sky, kind of cumulonimbus clouds, or whatever they're called, I guess. Someone who's a meteorology can tell me something else. But there is these big clouds in the sky. And so, you know, it's going to storm, and it starts to get a little windy, and it starts to get a little rainy. And then the tornado sirens start to go off, and we've heard them around here go off, and they go off often enough where you just don't pay attention to them anymore, especially in Missouri, but even here too, you know, it's like, oh, they go off, but nothing ever happens, and so you just sort of keep going about your day. And so we were at Starbucks and working, and it's like a big glass box, basically, and you have everyone sits in front of these glass windows, and it's not the safest place to be when there's a storm coming. But we had never practiced anything. We had never even talked about what happens if there's a tornado. And it was January, too, and so December 31st, so you don't think about that. And so customers are still coming in, and there are these diehard customers that come every day. And if you don't know their drink, they get mad at you, even if they don't even tell you what it is. And so it was like a venti whatever with 12 pumps of mocha and all this stuff. And they are there every day, no matter what, even if there's a tornado that's coming. And that was that day. And so it was, the wind picked up, and you saw all the patio furniture that we had put out that day blow across the parking lot, and the umbrella goes and everything, and pouring sideways rain. And so then we couldn't hear in the drive-through, and so people had to come in if they needed their coffee in that moment. And so they come inside, and we were just sort of watching all this happen, and lo and behold, there actually was about a mile west of us a F1 tornado that had touched down in the midst of all of this. And thankfully, none of us got hurt, and it only ripped some chimneys off and uprooted some trees, and no one was really injured in that. But was thinking about this idea of being unprepared for something happening in our lives in a time when you don't think things are going to happen, that's going to interrupt our daily routine in a way that we don't expect. And that's what our readings are speaking about today. Now, we might think of kind of the end of the world, and you remember some, I don't know how many years ago, the most recent time that you hear on the news or the radio or TV or internet, people talking about the signs of the end of the world, you know, and so they say, the most recent one, they were talking about Alaska being like a sanctuary state where like the end of the world's not going to reach and something, and they're usually Christian preachers who get us all stirred up for looking for that sign. And so then what do we do? People, they stockpile stuff, right? They they get food and they get water and they get all this stuff ready in their basement. And it may, that might be a smart thing just anyways, right, to have. I'm not saying that that's bad to be prepared for situations in the world, but we easily mix the natural sense of the end of the world with the spiritual sense of the end of the world. And our readings today aren't giving us particular signs necessarily for when the earth will cease to exist in that biological, scientific sense. I mean, because it will someday, right? We're not going to be here forever, whether it's in a billion years when our star sun burns out or an asteroid comes and, you know, cleans the house, if you will. That's going to happen at some point. But this reading isn't about that. And it even says at the end of our gospel that we will neither know the day nor the hour. And so if we hear Christian preachers that tell you to look for particular astrological, you know, earthquakes, fires, right? Think about all of that, wars. We're missing it. That's not the point. And Jesus is kind of clear in this. And where is Jesus coming from in this? What is his understanding of this and the people who are listening to him in the Gospel of Mark? Well, to understand it, actually, we have to look at the book of Daniel, which is what Jesus is quoting from in this reading. In the book of Daniel, it talks about there being 70 weeks of years. The book of Daniel is a weird book, if you ever get the chance to read through it. There's a lot of numbers, like sort of signs, numbers. There's a lot of dreams that are strange, just like dreams are. And even if you've read it a bunch, it's hard to wrap your mind a little bit. But the sense of it was that there were these 70 weeks of years, or 70 times 7 amount of years, so something like 490 years after the time of the Babylonian exile. So that brings the people who are reading these scriptures to around the time of Christ. And so there was an expectation of some sort of Messiah, some messianic expectation that was existing, particularly around the time of Jesus. And so when Jesus quotes from the book of Daniel and said, in those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the powers in heaven will be shaken, and the Son of Man will come on the clouds. He's quoting the book of Daniel. And he's saying, you can notice when the weather changes, or you notice when the leaves on the fig tree change, and you can tell what's happening. Well, when you see these other things, know that the end is near. And he's referencing himself. He's referencing himself. And so his hearers kind of know this and they get this. I mean, we may miss it a little bit. We might think it's pointing towards something that we need to watch out for that hasn't already, in some sense, occurred. When in reality, this is something that's already taken place in the world, this beginning of the end, which begins with the coming of Christ. And so for all of us who are living in the time after Christ, or as we say, AD, you know, Anno Domini, the year of the Lord, that all of us are living in the end times. We don't need to look for an earthquake, a fire, the stars aligning up, or something like that. That each and every one of us are in that moment now. And so we should do what is intelligent to do. We should prepare by watching the signs and what we have, the great sign of Christ. And so how do we prepare? Well, we don't prepare as Christians spiritually the same way you prepare practically for, you know, a disaster, if you will. So it might make sense to have, if you want to say, water filters and some food in case the power goes out. That might make sense for our natural lives. So that might be a good thing. But Christians are called in some sense to do almost the opposite. We don't prepare for the end as Christians by safeguarding ourselves from the world, but rather we prepare ourselves by not gathering to us, but by giving away. It's almost the opposite dynamic. And so we do both of these things from a natural perspective, yes, but as a spiritual perspective, we give of ourselves. A group of us high schoolers and myself, and there's some who are out here, did some service, and that was like a great witness of spiritual preparation for the end times. And I was thinking about this idea of like taking shelter from a storm, preparing for the end, and it came to mind a prayer that I received as a penance when I was a sophomore in high school. And it's a prayer that's called the Anima Christi. And it goes like this. It says, "Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from Christ's side, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within thy wounds, hide me. Suffer me not to be separated from thee. From the malicious enemy, defend me. In the hour of my death, call me. And bid me come unto thee, that I may praise thee with thy saints and with thy angels forever and ever." And what came to mind as I was thinking about these readings in this homily was that one line in there, "Within thy wounds, hide me." And thinking of what is the type of shelter we should seek in preparation for the end. And the shelter that we should seek is the shelter within the wounds of Christ. I like the image of St. Thomas in the famous painting you might have seen of him putting his hand in the side of Christ. And I picture that that's what we have to do. But to do that, we have to let go of all of these other things in some sense that you want to say maybe don't fit, right? Only we fit in within those wounds. And everything else needs to be given up, given over to him beforehand. I was thinking about this, and actually one of the readings in my prayers this morning was from St. Augustine's reflections on this. And I'll finish my homily with this. He's reflecting on this gospel about this end of times that we hear about in the Gospel of Mark. And he asks the question, well, what then should Christians do? He says he ought to use the world, not become the world's slave. And what does this mean? It means having as though not having. He says, "He who is without anxiety waits without fear until his Lord comes. For what sort of love of Christ is it to fear his coming?" So the end is not something to fear, something to wait for with joy. He says, "Brothers, we do not have to blush for shame. We love him, although we fear his coming. Are we really certain that we love him? Or do we love our sins more?" St. Augustine calls us to recognize, are we holding on to our sins like a stockpiling stuff in some sort of shelter? He says, "Therefore, let us hate our sins and love him who will exact punishment for them. He will come, whether we wish it or not. Do not think that because he is not coming just now, that he will not come at all. He will come, and you know not when. And provided he finds you prepared, your ignorance of that time of his coming will not be held against you." And he ends with this. He says, "If you wish to receive the merciful one when he comes, forgive whatever is held against you. Give of your abundance." He asks, "Of whose are your possessions?" He says, none of our possessions are our own. If all of our possessions of our Lord, when we give them, we don't give from our abundance, we give in restitution of what is someone else's. He says, "For what have you that you have not received? These are the sacrifices that are pleasing to God. These are the sacrifices that prepare us for the end. Mercy, humility, praise, peace, charity. Such are these, then, and let us bring these gifts, these preparations. In doing so, they will free us from fear. We will await, then, the coming of the judge who will judge the world in equity and the peoples in his truth." And so this Sunday, we do well in preparation then for Advent, but also the end of our lives, to renew a sense of mercy, of forgiveness, of humility, of praise and worship of God. That is our call. We take shelter not in a bomb shelter, but in the shelter that are the wounds of Christ, so that we might be prepared for when he comes.